He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning, May the 18th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. We got a mixed market today, and it's opposite of what it normally is. Today we've got the Dow down and the NASDAQ up. Okay, that hasn't been the pattern here recently. The Dow is down 95 points right now, 34,232. And the NASDAQ, on the other hand, is up 32 points. It's at 13,413. The S&P 500 is to the downside. It generally, kind of in the middle here. It's down 0.2%. It's down 7 points to 41.56. The small caps are up following the NASDAQ. Those two kind of run in tandem with one another. Russell 2000 up 4 points to 22.31. Crude oil, which has been on a roll. Boy, the crude oil sector and the stocks yesterday, I'm going to talk about that today. Crude oil is up, is down 23 cents to 66.04, but a lot of oil stocks breaking out recently. And speaking of breakouts, gold yesterday, I couldn't believe the moves on Newmont Mining and others. Gold is down 40 cents today. It's at 1867, but gold has been on the move, and gold stocks, along with silver stocks, have been on the move here. Silver's at 28.40. It's up 12 cents here today. And the 10-year yield, well, that could be weighing on the market a little bit. We're up another basis point today. We're at 1.65%. And Bitcoin continues to get slaughtered. You know, 1 week ago, we were at like 53,000. Today, we're down 1,600 to 43,181. The Holland tulip bulbs are coming home to roost. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, and now merged with Southport Capital. We've got a lot on the drawing board here. I'll be meeting on a conference Zoom today with a lot of the younger brokers there and giving them my take on this current market. I'm in it neck deep every day. Some days you could just see the top of my head sticking above the water, maybe a few bubbles coming up every once in a while when I need some air. But, you know, I look under a lot of rocks. I look in a lot of nooks and crannies, up a lot of little tributaries, looking for what's flowing into the market on a daily basis, which hopefully means I have some pretty valuable insight that most of you don't have. I mean, if you just look at the averages right now, well, the Dow's down 62 points. You know what? That doesn't tell me a whole heck of a lot. I've got to look underneath the surface. I got to put my scuba gear on and I get down under the water and look at the individual stocks, as many as 1,000 to 2,000 a day that are showing up on my screens, and that gives me a whole lot better feel for what's going on in the market. Well, yesterday I can tell you it was all about, I couldn't believe the move in the gold stocks. This just kind of came out of nowhere, really. Oh, gold has been inching up. But yesterday, it did more than inch up. I noticed a lot of big flyers in the gold patch yesterday. The chart of the day yesterday, I would say Newmont Mining, NEM. I've owned that stock in the past. I don't think I've ever made money on it. But you know what? With gold moving up now, we'll keep our eye on it. That was a very impressive move in the gold stocks yesterday. And in fact, gold moved to a three-month high. Gold seems to kind of go the... When Bitcoin plunges, gold seems to do well. And when Bitcoin is roaring, gold does not seem to do well. There seems to be an inverse relationship between those two asset classes. Bitcoin is just getting stomped on right now. It's down to 43,000. Well, you can probably thank a lot of that to Elon Musk, who He has a hard time. If you haven't noticed, he talks a lot. He tweets a lot. He's in the news every day, several times per day. And if that's not enough, he's now on Saturday Night Live. You know, he's just everywhere. And when Musk speaks, asset classes move, and that's what's going on with the Bitcoin markets here. And there was a pretty scathing article yesterday, I thought, and I agree with it, comparing the Bitcoin craze with the Holland tulip bulb mania of 1673. Was that the year? There's a lot of similarities, creepy similarities between what happened back then and what is happening now. Is Bitcoin today's Holland tulip bulbs? Well, like I say, yesterday that gold sector was on fire. The oil and gas sector was on fire. I noted many, many breakouts yesterday in the oil and gas sector. Bonanza Creek, Canadian oil, EOG. You got the ETF, that's the one of the energy ETFs, which is IEO, Laredo Petroleum, Matador. Those were all big movers in the oil patch yesterday. There was a little action in the consumer sector yesterday with AutoZone and Dillard's, Callaway Golf, Harley-Davidson, Hogg having a pretty good move. It does qualify as a value stock right now, does Harley-Davidson. And over in the industrials, there was some pretty good action in the industrials, ABB and CNHI. And in the gold patch, Agnico Eagle, Goldfields, Newmont Mining, all the usual candidates. Very strong day yesterday. What was ugly yesterday again? Coinbase, Tesla, Carvana, Disney, the Bitcoin Trust, GBTC, and one of the big cloud stocks, ServiceNow, which is NOW. So there's just my summary of what took place yesterday. I've also noticed maybe just a little interest in big pharma, especially AstraZeneca. AZN has had a pretty good chart. And, of course, the steel stocks, Cleveland Cliffs in particular, and Nucor, they continue to do quite well. But I think if you summed it all up into a couple of categories here, I would say that once again, the growth stocks did poorly and the value stocks did well. And that, to me, is a theme you can bank on here in 2021. If you try to fight that trend, I don't think you'll be successful. And if you just learn some of these basics, which I try to teach every day here on the show about value investing, I've been keying on just a few value measures. Price to sales, I think, is a big key ratio right now. The forward PE is very important, and the PEG ratio is very important right now. Housing starts unexpectedly fall, 9.5% in April. I wonder if housing has finally kind of gotten just a little pricey here. You know, the higher lumber costs, which are coming down a bit right now, have really added a lot of cost to the homes, and maybe they cooled off. But that is a very volatile month-to-month figure there. April housing starts minus 9.5% month over month. Gold, three-month high, as I said, as Bitcoin continues to plunge. Wow. Let me just look up GBTC here real quickly and see how it is faring today. And, of course, all those Bitcoin stocks like Riot, it's not a riot right now. Marathon, not good. It's just looking ugly. GBTC and also the Ethereum Trust, which I believe is ETHE. Yeah, it's come down pretty hard. You know, it's like down 20% or so. And as I said yesterday, Newmont Mining was the chart of the day. N-E-M, Newmont. You could also throw in AEM. And I just noticed, I got to verify this, but it looks like the number one ranked stock in my app today is Kirkland Gold. Kirkland Lake Gold, KL. a $12 billion company. So we'll be looking hard at this move in gold to see if it's real or not. And, of course, the silver ETFs were the best performers yesterday. Of all the ETFs out there, there's several silver ETFs, SILJ, SLVP, SIL, SIVR, SLV, PSLV. And this is BILL, Bill. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about crude oil. You know, we're going back to 2012, 2013, the last big move in the oil stocks. I was there. I was writing a book about it at that time. And a lot of my old favorites are coming back into favor again. I can't wait to talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ has gained a little steam here. It's up 66 points right now, while the Dow is down 85 points. Well, you know, I wrote a book back in the 2012-2013 time frame called, let's see, what was the title of it? The Best Stocks Now, 2011 actually it was. And I think about of the 60 or 50 stocks that I wrote about, I think a good 8 or 9 were oil stocks. Oil was just tearing up the track back then. China, you know, the demand from China and just demand here in the U.S. soaring. And I wrote about several oil stocks at that time. Many of them have been bought out along the way. Several of them are still around. But I know these oil stocks pretty well. I had Harold Hamm on my show back during that time period. He's the CEO of Continental Resources, CLR, out of Oklahoma. Harold Hamm, one of the pioneers in fracking, which really changed the industry, especially here in America. It revived the industry, the oil industry. And now a lot of these oil stocks are starting to break out again. It's like deja vu all over again, a lot of the same names. Yesterday I saw, you know, I think one thing, obviously the economy cranking back up again, and all of a sudden people are driving again, and, you know, production was probably held down, so I'm sure they could turn the spigot on back on pretty quickly, but still getting those oil fields back up and running at full capacity is not going to happen overnight. But that was the best finish in 2 years yesterday. Crude oil climbed to its highest settlement in more than 2 years. And one of the funds, one of the portfolios that I do manage for the small accounts that a lot of times tag along with the bigger accounts, I do a Best Funds Now portfolio, which is all ETFs. And I do have a position in an oil and gas ETF right now. For the first time in a long, long time, the UK economy reopened following a four-month COVID-19 lockdown. France and Spain have relaxed COVID-related restrictions. Portugal and the Netherlands have eased travel restrictions. The U.S. air travel on Sunday surged to 1.8 million, the highest total since March 2020. And, of course, that was the last month before COVID there. But on the negative side, data from China showed factories slowing production growth in April while retail sales missed expectations. And, of course, you've got some Indian states that are extending their lockdowns to fight the pandemic. But nevertheless, many of the oil ETFs like XLE, and OIH and ERX, etc., had very good days yesterday, and I think there may be a little some legs here to this rally in oil and possibly this rally in gold. Copper yesterday resumed its upward march on concerns of chili supply disruptions. What are we going to do? We can't get chili? What am I going to put on my... No, we're talking about the country of Chile had a big election, and they move pretty far left for now, and that spooked the markets on Chilean stocks, especially, you know, they have a big company down there, SQM, which is a big lithium miner and other mines other things. That stock got hit pretty hard on the election, but then the companies outside of Chile did quite well yesterday. Vale did very well. That's out of Brazil. Also, FCX, Freeport-McMoRan, that's out of the foreign country of Phoenix, Arizona, right? Freeport-McMoRan, FCX, it had a good day yesterday. BHP had a good day. Copper continues to move higher. It's an industrial metal. It's in a lot of things. And when the economy rebounds, copper is very, very sensitive to economic rebounds. We do own several copper stocks. Citigroup is not buying the weakness in tech just yet. Well, I'm not either. You know, I look daily at hundreds and hundreds of stock charts, and I just continue to see weakness, whether it's Apple, whether it's Microsoft, whether it's Netflix, whether it's AMD. I just see weakness. There's just no interest there right now. They are totally being shunned, and I think it's because of their high price-to-sales ratios, high forward PE ratios, high PEG ratios. Now, that's not to say that there are not some tech stocks that still fit my strict value criteria. I still own a few tech stocks that do fit that criteria. But for the most part, the vast majority of tech just does not look very good. Tobias Lefkowitz, in several cases, stock prices were zooming higher on pure price momentum. I say amen, brother, to that. It was pure price momentum. And when pure price momentum takes over, what is overlooked? Value. This begat new buyers who thought others would take them out at even higher levels. Tobias Lefkowitz wrote in a note, in our minds, that is not really investing, but rather chasing the tape and hoping for greater profits. Well, this was rampant in February. It was absolutely rampant, and I kept pointing it out in my weekly newsletter. Be careful. We've got a lot of speculation going on here. This is not good. We've reached a price-to-sales ratio that we haven't seen since the year 2000 on the tech stocks. And the year 2000 was the year that started a 79% sell-off in the NASDAQ. Well, if you're not reading the newsletter every weekend, that would be like just, you know, going out on a new area and taking your boat out to go fishing without talking to the local guides that fish it every day or reading any reports, you know, or forecasts. You're just kind of out there blindly. I talked to someone yesterday. Every once in a while I'll talk to a prospect or somebody that's wants to talk to me, and you know, they listed off their stocks that they own, and I cringed. Those stocks are horrible. Those are absolutely the wrong stocks to be in at this season of time. Okay, this is a very different season of time in the market than last year. It's a completely different group of sectors and stocks that have a very unique set of characteristics that are leading the market. And I just don't see a sudden turnaround and seeing all of these winners from last year like Zoom Video and Teladoc and DocuSign and all those kinds of stocks, or some of these SPACs from earlier this year. Or some of the ARK favorite stocks. I just don't see a turnaround. And I think, just my opinion, that it's going to get a whole lot worse in those stocks before it gets better. But you got to do what you want to do. You got to go where you want to go. That's what makes the market. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show on this Tuesday, May the 18th. The Dow down 60 right now, improved a little bit, and the NASDAQ has really gotten kind of hot here, 99 points to the upside right now. I guess one comment I would make, I've looked at about 100 charts here so far during the show, during the breaks. That's what I do during the breaks. I look at charts. I see a lot of potential bottoms being put in the very high growth area of the market. Stocks like Twilio, Teladoc, etc. I'm seeing potential bottoms being put in there. Now, that doesn't mean I'd go running out and buy them, but that could be an encouraging sign that maybe some of these stocks, I mean, a lot of them are down 35 to 50%. 35 to 50%. And maybe there could be finally some smoothing out there. You know, I talk all the time about just keep technical analysis simple. Just look at a one-year chart, just a one-year chart, and look at the last several months as the stock in a number one sideways trend. They occur after a downtrend, okay? You get a big downtrend, all of a sudden the stock starts to level off. I call that a number one trend. There's a lot of stocks right now in this high flyer category that are starting to form that number one trend. A number two trend is an uptrend. Hey, stock's in an uptrend. Gold's in an uptrend right now. It's in a number two trend. A number three trend is a very ominous trend because that's after a big run-up and a leveling off. That's what Bitcoin did. In fact, on Friday and Saturday's newsletter, I know I wrote about Bitcoin's very ominous chart pattern. When you had a big run-up and you get a leveling off, that's called a number three trend. And if that thing starts to curl over to the downside, you better run. That's the most ominous chart in the entire market. Then, of course, the number four trend is downtrend. It's just a full-blown downtrend. It has not stopped yet. It's still in the midst of a downtrend. At some point, it's going to find a bottom, hopefully, unless it goes to zero, and start forming a sideways trend. So I'm just telling you that that's the most encouraging thing I can say about the high-growth Momo, really, you know, highfalutin types of stocks. They're kind of leveling off into a number one trend. IBM president says it could take a couple of years to alleviate the global chip shortage. You wonder how we got into a mess like this. I suppose COVID had a lot to do with it. And I know a lot of companies, Intel for one, you know, stopped making chips. A lot of these companies now design the chips and then have them made by the big foundries like Taiwan Semiconductor. And that has created a chip shortage. That's, you know, $110 billion is what it's going to cost the auto industry in sales this year. So the chip shortage is not a small thing. It's a big thing. Crypto-related stocks struggle after Bitcoin's weekend dive. A full-out war broke out over the weekend between Elon Musk and Bitcoiners. You know, Elon just loves to meddle, and he loves to kind of get his jollies going after the short sellers, going after the Dogecoiners, the Bitcoiners, sending the price of Bitcoin plunging to a new cycle low of 42,000. Ouch. Among the names down sharply, Coinbase down 7.5% yesterday, Riot Blockchain down 13%, Marathon Patent down 11%, and Mike Novogratz Galaxy Digital down 6.3%, and Grayscale's Bitcoin Trust down 8.6%. So that's a new three-month low for Bitcoin. Bitcoin has been tumbling of late as it has not been trading levels this low since February 8th of this year, over 3 months ago. Additionally, Bitcoin is now down 32.4% from its all-time high. But keep this fact in mind. Bitcoin is still up 51.6% year to date. With Bitcoin selling off two exchange-traded funds, ETFs, that have negatively been impacted by this, are the new VanEck Vectors Digital Transformation Fund, that's DAP, D-A-P-P, and the Bitwise Crypto Industry Innovators ETF, B-I-T-Q. Now, Kathy Wood weighing in on Bitcoin, her team saying that Bitcoin mining will be net positive for the environment. Well, that flies in the face of what Elon Musk came to the conclusion of. He was selling his Bitcoin because he said he didn't like the impact it would have on the environment. China citing Tesla CEO decision to stop accepting Bitcoins for payment. Arx Yassin Elmanandra says the decision seems to have been triggered by private equity firm Greenwich's plans to revive a coal power plant to mine Bitcoin. In fact, Elon Musk referenced the announcement in a tweet. But, according to Kathy Wood's team, with the real-world data, we demonstrate how mining could impact the amount of renewable energy provisioned to a grid by transforming intermittent power resources into baseload generation. Anyways, they feel like it would have a positive impact on the environment. So which is it? I don't know. I'm going to stand on the sidelines on this one. Seagate and Western Digital continue rally as Chia frenzy drives HDD short. Have you heard of this one now? This is a new one. Chia. It's a new crypto. And it's boosting the stocks of Western Digital and Seagate. Chia, founded by BitTorrent creator Bram Cohen, said it offers a more eco-friendly experience than the likes of Bitcoin. Chia is farmed using a device's unused storage. Okay, are you following that? Last Friday, Morgan Stanley predicted that Chia, I remember Chia Pets, you know, you'd like, I don't know, anything, a pig or a cat, and all this little Chia would grow out and look like they had, were Fuzzy Wuzzy, had a bear or was a bear. Last Friday, Morgan Stanley predicted that Chia could significantly boost hard disk drive supply and demand in the current quarter. All right, would you buy a Coinbase convertible senior note in a private offering? In other words, they'll pay you a little bit of interest along the way, and if Coinbase gets above a certain price, you can then exercise your convertible note into stock and get a double whammy. I wouldn't give them any money. That's just me. Innovative Industrial Properties launches a $200 million offering of senior notes. Well, this is the marijuana REIT. Am I supposed to call it cannabis now? I guess cannabis is more politically correct. There is a cannabis REIT out there, and it's done quite well, actually. They own facilities, whether it's greenhouses or CBD distribution, whatever. They own industrial real estate assets that are used for growing medical-use cannabis. Well, this has been a growth stock, actually. Their earnings have been growing by 153% per year over the last 5 years, and they pay a 3.1% dividend yield. And they're headquartered in the cannabis capital of the world, Park City, Utah. That's where they're headed. Well, anyways, that's where they're headquartered. They're going to put out a convertible private offering of senior notes due in 2026, if you're interested. There's a new IPO coming out here later this week, I believe, is going to be called Oatly. Oatly is milk and other products made from oats. And, of course, Oprah Winfrey is a big backer in the oat milk maker. Hedgeye, a firm I don't agree with very often, says Oatly could be the next Chipotle. Hey, that's a cute little saying. The next Chipotle could be Oatly. Lululemon, or Under Armour. They also say it could be the next Lululemon or Under Armour after this week's IPO. Well, I like putting milk on my oats. I don't know if I like putting oat milk on my oats. I haven't tried it yet. I was getting used to the almond milk. I like that. Especially the chocolate flavor of almond milk. What's oatly milk taste like? I don't know. But is milk a very big profitable commodity? Well, we'll keep our eye on Oatly when it comes out later this week. At least it's plant-based and not animal-based. We'll be right back with our featured stock of the day. Final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Tuesday, May the 18th. Dow up, Dow down 48. Crude oil down 38 cents. Gold's up 20 cents. Commodities pretty flat today. The action today is in the NASDAQ. There is some bottoming action taking place in a lot of the hyper-growth stocks. The NASDAQ's up 99 points right now. Well, who remembers now... Okay, I'm in my early 60s, and I remember the early 60s, okay? I remember getting together. In fact, we used to go over to a friend's house. Our whole family would go to a friend's house and get together with their family on Sunday evening. And you know what the highlight of it was for me? My dad would bring over a six-pack of Dr. Peppers in a bottle. Okay, a six-pack, and we all got a Dr. Pepper and some popcorn. And we would sit around, and what would we watch? Bonanza. That's right, Bonanza. Dun, 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 dun. And it's still, if you've ever been to Lake Tahoe, the old Bonanza, you know, where they filmed it is still there. But, you know, it was Little Joe and everything and Hoss and all that. It was a big deal. It was a tradition. Well, I'm not going to talk about the show Bonanza, but there's a stock I'm going to talk about that has the name Bonanza Creek Energy is the name of it, BCEI. It's headquartered in Denver, Bonanza Creek Energy. And, of course, one of the biggest oil finds of all time was found right up there in that Williston Basin, which mostly is North Dakota, but it extends, you know, into other states. Bonanza is a smaller company, $1.3 billion in market cap. What do they do for a living? They're engaged in the oil and natural gas acquisition, exploration, development, and production in the U.S. You might say, well, you know, aren't they threatened by increasing regulations by the current administration on fracking and all this and that? Well, yes, obviously, but that's going to take a while. And I don't think you're going to be fossil fuel free anytime soon. I see these giant freighters, you know, coming into the harbor here in Charleston. I saw one last night loaded with containers. It's going to be a while before they're running on hydrogen fuel cells or solar. I imagine a ship like that running on solar probably couldn't get out of the harbor before they're out of energy, right? They carry a lot of fuel in those babies. Well, BCEI is the symbol. The P.E. ratio is 7, okay? The forward P.E. ratio on Bonanza is 7.69. That's taking the current price of the stock at $43.05 and dividing it by next year's earnings estimates, which are $5.80. And if you look at the app, beststocksnowapp.com, which has got to be, in this market, I'd be lost. Without my app, I'd be totally lost. I got to look up those price to sales, those forward PEs, those five-year earnings projections, those five-year target prices, and the overall ranking of the stock. I'm totally reliant upon it. Okay, so you take that forward P.E. of 7.69, and then you look at the five-year anticipated growth rate. This is an estimate going forward. 15% per year over the next 5 years. 15% per year. $7.69 forward PE divided into that 15% growth rate yields a PEG ratio. That's the forward PE divided by the growth rate of 0.51. So it fits into that category. I like one or less right now in this market. I like one or less. This comes in at 0.51. And furthermore, if I take the earnings estimates for next year and extrapolate them out at 15% per year and then apply what I think is a multiple that this stock deserves, I get a 5-year target price of $75 per share, which is quite a bit higher than where the stock is trading right now. It also has a dividend yield of 3.3%. Now, anytime you're in a commodity stock, you're at the mercy of the price of the commodity. That's probably one of the biggest drivers in commodity stocks is the price of the commodity that they produce. But right now we seem to be in a pretty good oil and gas phase in the market. And, you know, I recorded 9 oil stocks over the last several days that are breaking out and look quite good. And this was one of them, Bonanza Creek Energy, BCEI. What is it ranked overall in the beststocksnowapp.com? Well, it's ranked number 866 out of 5,803. But it's moving up in rank, and the chart is gorgeous. It is a fresh new breakout. Now, this is not a recommendation, but it's an example. I have a checklist in this market that's totally different from last year's checklist. You got to check off all the boxes. And BCEI currently checks off all the boxes in the market of 2021, which is completely different from 2020. Well, you know what? We have so many people contacting us. They notice, hey, you know what? There's something different about what these guys do. They're not just asset allocators with a model that just adjusts every 90 days according to your advancement in age. No, there's a whole lot more to take into account here. I wouldn't want to own any bond funds right now. I don't care what your age is. Nor would I want to own any high priced growth stocks in this current market. But there are segments of the market that I do want to own, and I do own. That's what's critical. That's the difference between active management and passive management. I'm an active manager. When I see big changes, macro changes coming to a sector or to a commodity or to an asset class, we make changes. We did a complete makeover in February away from tech, away from high growth, into value. That's pretty radical. Was I right? Well, so far. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, to set up an appointment with one of our advisors. And that list of advisors, I'm getting to know these people. We got a ton of advisors all across the country. Or start off with the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.